All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. I want to get as much finished up here. Hopefully, I'll finish up with this today. I'm not going to go into every last detail. You know, this study is incredibly long. I'm only on page 10 of my notes, and this thing is like 72 pages long. So, obviously, I'm not going through all of this. It'll take probably a couple of weeks, literally, to cover all of this. But I did want to nevertheless make the point that my position is backed with the facts, and the Trinitarian position is not. So, you know, I don't want people having an excuse for calling me up and calling me a heretic because I don't go along with this ridiculous hoax. So picking up where I left off, not only is Christ, not only was Christ already God's son before coming to earth, as we saw yesterday and the day before, but he was begotten of God before he came here. Notice the passage we just read. God, you know, several passages. God sent his only begotten son into the world. He didn't just send his only son into the world. He sent his only begotten son into the world. You see, Christ was begotten before he came here. So it wasn't just when he came here that he was begotten in Mary's womb. He was begotten. God sent his only begotten son before he came here. God so loved the world, we're told, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. God, again, begot Christ before he came. Here's another one. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. Who did God send? He didn't just send his son, he sent his only begotten son. You see, we're called sons of God, aren't we? Because we're adopted into God's family, if you will. But Christ is God's begotten son. We read something similar in Hebrews 1, verse 6. It says, and again, when the Father, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Notice, he brought his only begotten son, or his first begotten, into the world. Christ was already his first begotten before he was brought into the world. God brought his begotten into the world. You understand, folks? You can't twist this. There's no possible way that you can possibly, if you're honest with yourself, there's no way that you can misunderstand the meaning of passages like this. It's too flippin' clear. Trinitarians want to twist your mind so that their system continues to stand and smell nice and purty. But it stinks to high heaven. It's a scam. It's a fraud. God sent his only begotten son. Christ was already begotten before he was sent here. How could it be said that God sent his only begotten son into the world unless, again, he was already sent or begotten before he was sent? Again, Christ was obviously God's only begotten son or was begotten of God before he came into the world, long before. Yes, Christ is not role-playing as the son of God, as Trinitarians teach. He is literally the son of God. Again, I'm not suggesting that God gave birth to Christ as a human mother gives birth. The Bible uses this birth analogy just to help us to relate somewhat to the sonship relationship that Christ has with his Father, that he literally is of the same nature, the divine nature of God. I'm human, so my son is going to be human. God is divine, so his son is divine. Christ possesses the divine nature of his Father, but he is not God. The Father alone is God. Christ, by birth, possesses his nature. And this is what the Bible is adamantly clear about. And if you have any doubts about that, stick with us, folks. There's a lot more to be said on this. Be right back.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. I really want to pick up pace here and get try to get this finished up today. Anyway, if you look in Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 30, you read this following interesting passage. It said, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was." Set up, notice. I was set up before ever the earth was. "When there were no depths or no ocean, I was brought forth or given birth to. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth or given birth to." Who is this talking here? "While as yet he had made the earth," referring to God, "or the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Who could this be talking here? Trinitarians will say, oh, well, it's wisdom, wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom is speaking hypothetically here. Oh, really? Wisdom is speaking hypothetically here. Okay. There's no question that the Bible does use allegories like this, and you do have non-living entities speaking hypothetically. Yes, that does happen, but that's not the case here. It's not possible. If it is, then there's a very serious problem for Trinitarians. If this is wisdom speaking hypothetically, then this passage teaches that there was a time when God did not possess wisdom until he gave birth to it. For this passage states, or the entity speaking in this passage states to God, that I was with you from the day you brought me forth, from the day you gave me birth. Brought forth comes from the Hebrew word chul or chul, which is translated in every other instance in the Bible in reference to giving birth, as giving birth or brought forth. Woe unto him that says unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth or given birth? Isaiah 45:10, just for an example, a passage where chul is used elsewhere in the Old Testament in the same context of giving birth. That's what the word means, folks. Wisdom speaking here is Christ himself. Paul says that Christ is the wisdom of God. Yes, wisdom is talking here, all right, but not hypothetically as a concept. Wisdom is talking as Christ himself, saying that he was there with God by his side. Doesn't the Bible say that Christ sits at the right hand of God? By his side, as one brought up with you. There's no question, folks, that Christ had a beginning. He wasn't created, but he was given birth to by God long before he came to this world. You can't deny it anymore. Maybe previously you could have gotten away with it. You can no longer deny it now. Christ was begotten of God before he came here. That's why he's called the Son of God. How many people, how many ministers have been fired? How many lay people have been thrown out of their church, disfellowshipped, banned for life, lost friends? Even marriages have broken up over this because they wouldn't conform with the false doctrine of the scam Trinity that has no support whatsoever in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? They're called heretics. They're not true Christians. Stay away from him. Oh, how loving is that? How Christian is that? Especially when you can't prove the ridiculous doctrine, when the ridiculous doctrine can easily be disproved. There's something else that Trinitarians fail to recognize in regards to their interpretation of this Proverbs 8 passage, which creates a very serious problem for them. Sorry, I'm actually repeating myself here. I jumped ahead. It's the problem of the wisdom thing. It can't be wisdom talking hypothetically, guys. I already made that point. Sorry. I actually wanted to skip down to... I really hate to do this. I wanted to go over this thoroughly in detail, but we really are on the third day here, and I don't want this to drag on. It's going to lose a lot of people, I'm sure. But here are some other passages I just wanted to make reference to. This is Christ speaking here. He said, I came out from thee. He's talking to God here, the Father. I came out from thee, and they, the disciples, have believed that you did send me. John 17:8. Christ is making it clear that he came out from God. There are numerous passages. And again, if you want to check these out, I encourage you to go to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. And just type my name in, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you can read these passages. Guys, I'm telling you, I haven't even scratched the surface. There's a heck of a lot more to this than what I'll be covering on the show. So please, if you have any doubt at all that what I'm saying is not true, that what I'm saying is twisting the Bible, that what I'm saying is heresy, please go to Lulu, get the book, Who is God? You can find it most easily just by searching for my name, Charles Giuliani. And I'm telling you, you will not be able to continue to believe it. I'm going to be presenting more truth today along that line, but you know, I'm having to skip a lot of this here simply because I don't want to lose... too much of the audience here, which unfortunately has been happening. It's probably either because it's Trinitarians that can't handle the truth, or people that are tuning in expecting to hear things about politics or other subjects other than religion. And for some reason, people don't like to discuss this very much. But to me, it's very important because this is another avenue whereby we're being lied to. I want to strip away all the lies on this show. Anyway, we've got a caller, Robert, same guy, I think you called yesterday, Robert in Salt Lake. Welcome, Rob.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, how's it going?
You speak so quickly, it's difficult to get it. I want to get it. I want to get it right. The website you're giving, you said lulu.com?
Yeah, L-U-L-U.
.com?
Yeah.
And you said that there's a text there called Who is God?
Yeah, but for some reason when you search for that, it doesn't come up on the first page. You got to look through several pages. The easiest way to find it is just search my name, and it's Charles, okay. Charles Giuliani, and it's spelled the same as Rudy, unfortunately. No relation,
right.
But it's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I.
Spell that one more time.
G-I-U.
G-I-U.
Yeah. L-I-A-N-I.
I want to make sure I got that right. Didn't know if you were related to some politician in New York.
Yeah, no relation. It is a pretty.
I had a couple thoughts. One of them, I believe that overall that this is a Christian nation. At least we profess to be a Christian nation.
Whatever that means anymore, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, we talk about it, okay? We talk about it, but I think our actions is like, as long as my Christianity can just, you know, be on Sundays, you know, that's good enough. That's so much for one of my pet peeves. But I think really, overall, the majority of the people in this nation are Jesus believers. But I think we've got some, trying to think what to call them, communists that have taken over this country. And we've allowed them to. And the next thought, absolutely believe that there are connections to the Vatican as far as who is giving Bush marching orders and the Congress marching orders, as if there is no separation between church and state. But I didn't want to dwell there. I think that as a Christian nation, the things you're talking about, you know, you're saying that there are people that they prefer you to talk about politics and other issues. I think being that this is a Christian nation, the things you're talking about are very relevant, okay?
Right.
Relevant to the condition we're in. Relevant to the people who have now, they're at the steering wheel in this country, and it's like they ought not to be in this Christian nation.
Right.
People should not be doing what they're doing back in D.C., and yet here they are. And who's to blame? We put them there. We stand for this condition, you know? It's very upsetting.
Well, you know, I'm very much against this whole idea of making this a Christian nation, quote unquote. I think it's great that traditionally we've had never really upheld them the way we were supposed to, but we've held on to, you know, what are called, traditional Christian values. At least the bulk of the population did. The government never did. But to call it a Christian nation to me is very scary. I don't want any country to be a Christian nation.
I think it's a denominational thing, okay? People choose their own denomination, but I believe, as I've seen it, as I've observed, that there's a majority of people in this nation who believe in Jesus, okay? Not even to slice which denomination they're from, all right?
Right.
But two more points, and then I'll be down the road.
Yeah, really quick, because I want to get cranking here, but go ahead.
There's a researcher whose name is Glenn Kimball, G-L-E-N Kimball, and he's been documenting a number of things. But I think as you've been talking about today, brought forth and bringing forth, that there's a male and female side of deity, okay? And I don't even know if you want to go there, but I believe there's a female side of deity, but I think on purpose God the Father hasn't presented that for her own protection, okay? And there are people, right, who are they? Well, I'm still looking, that have more evidence of, is there a mother in heaven? You know, is that blasphemy? And last detail, there's a video series called 500 Nations, and I bought it a few years ago, and I've been looking through it. And one thing that amazes me is that in the Americas, at least four different times at four different places, I don't know what else to describe it. It is as if...
I tell you what, we gotta go to break, stick right there. But yeah, clearly God does not have, you know, gender.
It is as if the resurrected Christ has appeared in the Americas.
Hold on. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. We got Robert still on the line here in Salt Lake. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Oh, I guess he hung up. All right. Robert, sorry about that. If you want to call in and finish your point, by all means, please do so. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I just want to plow on through here, folks, and get to we only got a half an hour left, and I really wanted to cover a lot of important points here. Basically, here it is in a nutshell. And, again, you go to my, go to lulu.com, get the book Who is God, and you'll see this all laid out. And you'll see I'm not making this up, guys. The Bible is very clear on this, who Christ is. He is the Son of God. God literally gave birth to him. Christ has a divine nature. Just like my son has a human nature because he is my son. He inherits my nature. Christ being the Son of God, the literal Son of God. Christ was not created. God gave birth to him long before we were created. The Bible teaches that Christ took part in the creation. We're told by Paul, for example, that God created all things through Jesus Christ. God is the creator, but he created everything through Christ. We're told that God is our Savior, but that he sent Christ to do the act of saving. Why? Because God can't die, but Christ can. Christ himself said, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. Christ has life in himself, but only because it was given to him by his Father. But the Father naturally possesses life within himself, having existed without beginning. There is a very sharp distinction drawn between Christ and the Father. We're told that Christ is the express image of God's person. I mentioned this, I think, on Monday. God is referred to as a singular person in the Bible, not a plurality, a singular person. And Christ is not that person. He is the express image of that person. Well, that only makes sense. If he's the Son of God, he's going to have the image of his Father, right? He's going to be the spitting image of his Father. This is what the Bible teaches, folks. It's very, very clear on this matter. Okay, let me continue on. The Bible portrays a very clear hierarchical system, and it does not place Christ on an equal level with God in position. Never has been. All through the Bible, Old Testament and New, and even projecting into the future, the Bible makes it clear that Christ always has been, still is, and ever will be subordinate to his Father. The Bible says that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, Ephesians 4:6. That includes Christ. Christ is above everything else, but the Father is above him. Who would argue that the Father is above all? But does this all really include Christ? Indeed, it does. Notice what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Woman's liver, so I'm going to like that. And that doesn't mean what it seems to mean, guys. It has nothing to do with the men dominating over women. But notice what it goes on to say. And the head of Christ is God. Now, how can you possibly harmonize that with Trinitarian theology, folks? You can't. That passage not only makes it clear that Christ is subordinate to God, but it makes it clear that God is someone separate from Christ. How can Christ be God, and yet it be said that the head of Christ is God? Give me a break. Here's another one. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's, possessive. In other words, we belong to Christ, but Christ belongs to God, 1 Corinthians 3:23. So the Father is obviously a higher authority than Christ. Jesus himself said, my Father is greater than all. Making this point even more clear, Jesus said, by the way, that was from John 10:29. So you don't think I'm making these things up. But making this point even more clear, Jesus says, my Father is greater than I. In John 14:28. No wonder he said, my Father is greater than all. He meant himself as well. Okay, guys. The Bible teaches that everything is under Christ, yet Christ himself is under the Father, which is the only true God, as we have seen. Notice how the Father is called the highest in Luke 1:32. He, Christ, shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. He's not the highest. He's the Son of the Highest. Very, very, very clear now, isn't it? Notice also the hierarchical system portrayed in Revelation 1:1. First in line, in command, we have the Father, then Christ, then his angel Gabriel, and then John. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave the revelation to Christ to shew unto his servants, shortly to come to pass, which he signified by his angel unto his servant John. By the way, Jesus says, no man knows the hour of my coming, yea, not even the Son, but the Father only. Yes, the Father is above Christ. No question about it, and he always will be. Read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24, 27, and 28, and there you'll see that one day Christ is going to lay all power and authority that has been given to him by his Father at his Father's feet, so that God may be all in all. How do you explain that one, my Trinitarian friends? You can't, and you know you can't. So who's the heretic? Who's got the false doctrine here, me or you? The question remains, what did Christ mean by I and my Father are one? Trinitarians love to quote that. Did Jesus say I and my Father are one God? No. Did he say I and my Father and the Holy Spirit are one or are one God? No. He says I and my Father are one. What did he mean by that? We are told that we, as Christians, are to be one in Christ, united as one. Does that mean that we're multiple persons comprising one being? Of course not. That's foolishness. It means that we're to be in one mind, one spirit, in love and support of one another. And that's what Christ is with his Father. They are one in mind and in purpose. Has nothing to do with proof of a Trinitarian doctrine. Knock it off! When Christ said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, obviously, he didn't mean that he's God when he said that. He meant that I am so much like my Father. I am his spitting image. As Paul said, he is the express image of God's person. That's what he meant. To see me, Jesus meant, is the same as to see the Father, because I am so much like him. I am his spitting image. Stick with us, guys. We're really going to rip the lid off this sucker when we get back. Short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F.
We got a caller on the line, Charlene from Missouri. We talked to her yesterday. I hope you don't mind, Charlene. I'm going to have you wait just a couple minutes. I just want to go through something really quick. Go to your call real quick, and then I want to plow through some other important material. Get as much accomplished here today as I can. Did you guys know that Christ has a God? Did you know that Christ has a God? Yes, he does. The Father is his God, just like he's our God. Why? Because Christ owes his existence to him, just as we do. Christ wasn't created. He was born. But nevertheless, the Father is his God, just like he's our God. Listen to this. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore. 2 Corinthians 11:31. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Ephesians 1:3. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Ephesians 1:17. But unto the Son he says, "Thy throne, O God." Notice, the Father calls Christ God here. Trinitarians will say, "See, that proves that he's God." No, it doesn't. The Father calls us gods as well. His children inherit the family name. We can be called gods. Jesus himself makes that clear. I quoted it yesterday from John 10. He told the Pharisees, "Have you not heard in the scriptures, have you not read, that God calls his children gods?" Yes, we're all called gods. Jesus is called God as well, but it doesn't mean he's God himself. He's the Son of God who inherits that title. Anyway, listen to this passage. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. Never is is Christ called the Father's God. Never does the Father call Christ his God. But Jesus is called, the Father is called Jesus his God. And in fact, Jesus himself calls the Father his God. Yes. I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, said Jesus, prophetically speaking. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Also, Matthew 27:46, we read, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice while upon the cross, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus called the Father his God. Once again, how can such passages as this be explained in a Trinitarian context? Obviously, the Father is referred to as Christ's God because Christ owes his existence to his Father, just as we do. Christ told Mary, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my God and to your God. Jesus says in Revelation 3, he that is faithful unto me, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God. I'm trying to skim through here. There's a couple of the passages along this line. Anyway, I think I made the point. I don't have to be redundant any further on that. I hope you can see, guys, that Jesus has a God. We're told numerous times that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. Now, how can you be God and sit at God's right hand? It's absolute nonsense. But the real clincher here that I want to leave you with today, I want to read some passages from this section called All Things from the Father. Christ has divine prerogatives. There's no question about it. And he's legitimately entitled to having those divine prerogatives because he's the literal Son of God who worked with God in creating us. But he has these divine prerogatives because they were given to him by inheritance. He does not naturally possess these divine prerogatives because he is God. The Trinity doctrine demands that you believe this. But every time we are told about Christ's divine prerogatives, we find that they were given, inherited. Nowhere are we ever told that Christ possessed these prerogatives because he's God himself. We're told by Paul that Christ one day will reveal who is the chief potentate, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. That is not Christ. Christ isn't going to reveal himself as that person. He's going to reveal someone else other than himself who is that person, who is the chief potentate, the one who Paul said is the head of all things. You know, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. The head of Christ is God. This is the one that Christ is going to reveal one day as the chief potentate. This is the one whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus said no man has ever seen the Father at any time or heard his voice. Elsewhere, he says no man has ever seen God at any time. God, the Father, no one who's ever seen him. This is the one who is the chief potentate who only has immortality. Now, naturally, Christ has immortality. The angels have it. We're told we'll have it one day. Why does it say that God is the only one who has it? He's the only one who naturally has it. Christ himself does not naturally possess immortality. It was given to him because he's the son who inherited it from him. Okay, we're going to go to Marlene really quick here, and then I want to hit this thing hard. I'm going to plow through a bunch of verses, guys, that shows that Christ has his prerogatives because the Father gave them to him. Why do you think Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, not mine own will? The works that I do are not mine, but him who sent me. Go ahead, Marlene, you there?
Charlene, and you already...
Oh, Charlene, I'm sorry.
So you already hit the one I was going to tell you. He said, John 20:17, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God.
Right on.
You already...
There you go.
And
there you
also, I can't find the scripture right offhand, but he said he emptied himself and took on the form of a slave. And in John 17, it says, okay, Father, now glorify me with the glory I had with you before I took on the form of a slave.
Right on.
Anyway, great show. All right, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Next,
bye.
Great call. Great point. Yeah, folks, my God and your God. Jesus refers to the Father as his God. All right, guys, in Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9, we find that Paul says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, naturally, the Godhead refers to the Father, divine headship. It has nothing to do with the Trinity. Trinitarians like to use the word Godhead as a synonym for the Trinity. It's not. It has nothing to do with a triune God. It has to do with divine headship. And the Bible says it dwells in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead, or the Father's divine headship, dwells in Christ. Why? Because the Father gave it to him. We're told that the Father gave him all things. In fact, we're told also by Paul that it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all his fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. Okay. Yes, the Father gave his fullness to his Son. Indeed, Christ got everything that he has from the Father. In John 13:3, we read, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, Jesus himself said, the Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. John 3:35. Jesus also said, all things that the Father hath are mine. John 16:15. And why are they his? Because they were given to him. Jesus further said, all things are delivered to me of my Father. Luke 10:22. While speaking to the Father in prayer, Jesus declared, now they, the disciples, know that everything you have given me comes from you. John 7:17. Where did Jesus get his power from? Ask a Trinitarian, and you will get an entirely different answer from that which the Bible gives. Jesus says that all power was given to him. Quote, Jesus came and spake unto them, the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. And who gave him this power? Is it not the Father who, as we just saw, gave him all things? Trinitarians want us to believe that Christ, whom they say is God or a person of God, naturally possesses the position of authority that he has in heaven. But this just isn't true. The Bible makes it very clear that Christ's exalted position in heaven was given to him. Peter wrote, who, meaning Christ, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. 1 Peter 3:22. In Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9, we read, but unto the Son he, meaning the Father, says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I quoted this a minute ago. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Why is Christ above his fellows? Because the Father anointed him and gave him this exalted position. He doesn't naturally possess it because he's God himself. Where do you find such a thing in the Bible? You don't. Every time you find the Bible making reference to Christ's position, his exalted position and powers, we find that they were given. Given, 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 given. The Bible also tells us how Christ was given power and authority over us here on earth. While in prayer to the Father, Jesus, speaking to him, speaking of himself in the third person, stated, quote, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, John 17:2. Christ was given power over all flesh, given power over all flesh, given power over all flesh. Does he possess power over all flesh? Yes. But why does he possess that power? It was given, 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 given. Oh, I have to be redundant because it just doesn't sink in with Trinitarians. They believe, and they must believe if they want to continue to belong to the 501c3 steepled corporation, that he has always possessed these powers because he's God himself. He is not God. He is the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Most High, who himself gave these powers and prerogatives to him. We are also told how the Father made Christ to be the head of the church. Paul wrote, and God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1:22. Paul also tells us how the Father has appointed Christ to be our Redeemer, our righteousness, sanctification, etc. He wrote, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1:30. In Hebrews 5:5, we read, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. In other words, the one who said to him, thou art my son. Who's that? The Father. God. God is the one who appointed him and glorified him to be the head of all things. Christ didn't do it to himself. You understand what this is saying? If he was God, certainly he could give him this power, give himself this power. But he's not God. God, his Father, gave him these prerogatives. If you're taking notes, look up Hebrews 6:20, chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, and verse 28. You got the same thing there. The Father gave these things to him. Yes, Christ has divine authority, but again, this authority was given to him. Notice what we are told in Hebrews 2, verses 7 to 9. Thou, meaning the Father, made him a little lower than the angels, referring to when Christ lowered himself, of course, and came to earth as a man. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not in subjection under him. Everything is in subjection to Christ. Why? Because the Father put it in subjection to him. But all of those things, including Christ, are also in subjection to God. The only reason why the Father trusts us to be subject to Christ is because Christ is fully subject to his Father, as he said himself, I do not do anything of my own power. All that I do because the Father gave me power to do it, Jesus said. But now we see, yet not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he should, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. We are also told in Hebrews 7:26 that God exalted Christ higher than the heavens. In Ephesians 1:20 and 21, Paul tells us that the Father set him, Christ, at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Christ is set above everything except the Father, of course. And why is he set above everything? Because the Father set him there. Earlier we talked of how Christ is worthy to receive worship because he came forth from God and because he worked with God in creating all things. Now let's look at a fascinating passage, part of which we cited yesterday, where we are told of how the Father exalted Christ, giving him the official right to receive worship because the worship goes to God in the first place. When we bow before Christ, remember I said yesterday? Listen to what Paul says. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, in order that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not God, but Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we bow before Christ, we are worshiping God through him, just like we're to pray to God through him. Do you understand what this passage is saying? Philippians 2, 9-11. You'd better read it and read it carefully, folks, along with all the other passages I'm citing here. God has exalted him, highly exalted him, and gave him a name above every name. Why is Jesus exalted? Because God exalted him. Why does he have a name above every name? Because the Father gave him a name above every name. He doesn't naturally possess this because he's God himself. Away with such foolish notions. You have been suckered. Are you seeing it now? Oh, I live for the day to see all these phony corporate religions dry up and blow away in the wind. I detest them. And you know what? God does too, because they're lying, murdering, cheating, and stealing in his name. Rotten fraud artists, every last one of them. Another point we discussed earlier was how Christ is sometimes designated as God in the Bible. Well, I think we can lay that to rest once and for all now, can't we? That he is called God because he's the Son of God, not because he is God, just like we're called gods because we're the sons and daughters of God. But it doesn't mean we're God now, does it? I don't hear Trinitarians say, see, We're called gods, therefore we're God himself. No, of course not. They wouldn't be so foolish to say that. So why do they say that when Christ is called God? When he clearly isn't, he's the Son of God. Nonsense! This has gone on for way too long, guys. Centuries upon end. It's got to stop. The lies, the hypocrisy, the scams, the cover-ups. It's got to stop. Snap out of it and break yourself free from the bondage once and for all. All right. In Isaiah 9:6, they love to quote this one. His name shall be called the Mighty God. Yes, his name is called God and Mighty God. By the way, the word God there isn't even found in that verse. It's El, which could mean power. And Paul says that Christ is the mighty power of God. So that's probably all it's saying. But let's humor Trinitarians and pretend that he is actually being called Mighty God there. Fine. It's no problem. That's a title he's deserving of. But he's not called Almighty God now, is he? The Father alone is called Almighty God, not Christ. But please notice, it says, this is the name whereby he shall be called. It doesn't say that he is that. It says it's the name by which he shall be called. And we know that he's given a name above every name, isn't he? We just read it. Can you get more clear than this? So it's up to you, folks. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to believe the lies of corporate religion? Or are you going to believe what the Bible actually says and trash once and for all this ridiculous pagan doctrine that was invented in the 4th century? Away with the thing. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073. 3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. You know, I essentially covered all the details, the main important details I wanted to cover. There is a lot more to this. I'd like to spend more time. I did want to mention this. I love this. Trinitarian hucksters will quote another I just made reference to it, Isaiah 9:6. There's another part of that passage. It says, his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Now, I find that interesting. Trinitarians only quote the part where it says his name shall be called Mighty God to try to prove he's God himself. But if that's the case, why don't they go on to say that Christ is one with the Father? He is the Father himself, because it says his name shall be called the Everlasting Father, right? Do you see my point? Why do they only quote the part where it says his name should be called Mighty God to try to prove he's God? But they don't go on to say that because he's called the Everlasting Father that he is the Father himself, because they know that's ridiculous. They know the Father and Christ are two different persons. So why, but, you know, to be consistent with their interpretation, if they're going to quote the part that says his name should be called Mighty God to prove he's God, then they would by necessity have to prove to use the part that says his name should be called Everlasting Father to prove he's the Father. Do you see my point? For the same reason that he is not the Father himself because he's called Everlasting Father, he's not God himself because he's called Mighty God. Look how hypocritical and ridiculous the Trinitarian dogma is. Look how they twist things, they misquote things that fit their dogma, and ignore other things that don't. Look how they're playing games with you by telling you that, oh, it's too complicated, you can't understand it, you just have to accept it by faith. They don't answer these questions, these mounds of passages that we're looking at that say something entirely different than what they're telling you. The Bible teaches that Jesus has been given his power and position and prerogatives by inheritance, that he didn't naturally possess them. And again, whether you believe in the Bible or not isn't the point. I hope you can see that the Bible doesn't teach this and that there's no basis. Now you can really laugh at these religious fruitcakes who belong to organized religion when they talk about these ridiculous dogmas, because you see from the Bible yourself that the very book they profess to follow doesn't teach the crap that they're believing. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Christ is heir of all things. As the Son of God, he inherits these things. They were given to him by inheritance because he's God's Son, not because he's God himself. The Bible makes that very, very clear. Now, doesn't it? We don't have time to get in the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about that. But guys, look into it for yourself. Go get my book, Who is God, at lulu.com, and you will see that the Holy Spirit is not a person. There's no third person, okay? The Bible only describes two thrones, the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb at the right hand of God. There's no third throne there. There's no third person there being worshipped in the book of Revelation, for example. We have the divine throng around the throne worshipping. They're not worshipping three beings, they're worshipping two. We're never told to pray to the Holy Spirit, to worship the Holy Spirit. We're told to pray in the Spirit, through the Spirit, but not two, never. But yet, Trinitarians will tell you, oh, no, the Spirit is a person, just like the Father and the Son. You've got to pray to him and worship him. And oh, really? That's spiritualism, guys. That's idolatry. There is no being called the Holy Spirit. We're never told to pray to him. We never find anyone praying to him. We're never told to worship him. We never have anyone. In fact, the Spirit isn't it, if you want to come down to it. It's an it. It's not a he. The Greek pronouns, because the word Spirit, of course, is pneuma, which is neuter. You get neuter nouns. Where do they get off putting masculine pronouns in reference to the Holy Spirit? That's your Trinitarian translators that do that. Because they believe the Spirit to be a masculine being. It's not. It's not a being at all. It's the power and essence of God. That's all it is. That's why the Bible says when Jesus ascended to heaven, he breathed on his disciples. You're going to tell me he breathed a person out of his nose? When he ascended back to heaven, we're told the Father gave him the promise of the Spirit. You're going to tell me that the Father gave him, here, Son, I'm glad you returned. Here's the third person of the Trinity. I promised him to you. Here he is. He's now yours. Do with him as you wish. That's ridiculous. It's not a person, it's the power of God is all it is. I hope I destroyed that doctrine for you, folks. It needs to be in the trash bin. That's all it is trash. All right. Let's see you tomorrow, folks. I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about, but it'll be good. Guarantee you that. Be trashing more lies and exposing more truth. See you then.
It's true. Go.